What is your only comfort in life and death? How would you answer that question? Well, here's one answer, an answer based on the teachings of the Bible. What is your only comfort in life and death? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by His Holy Spirit, He also assures me of eternal life, and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for Him. That's from the Heidelberg Catechism, and it expresses the biblical hope of the gospel. Welcome to Gospel Talk with Pastor Wes Breidenhoff. Please join us as we spend a few minutes in God's Word, searching the Scriptures together and listening to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's our pastor and teacher, Wes Breidenhoff.
Well, welcome to today's program. Glad that you tuned in. I'm Pastor Wes Breidenhoff from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church, and I'm joined by Pastor Chris Gordon from the Linden United Reformed Church. On these Friday programs, we always have a roundtable discussion about important issues in theology, important issues facing the church today in North America. On today's program, we're going to continue our discussion of the office of pastor. It's our conviction that the office of pastor is under pressure today in North American Christianity for any number of reasons. And Chris, maybe you can start us off with some reflection on what those pressures are.
Right. Well, we looked at last week and we talked about the pressure today for the pastor to be the sort of CEO of the corporation, so to speak. Where today the primary emphasis, I was just hearing this the other day. A group of ladies were speaking together down at the local coffee shop, and they were planning on leaving their current church and going down to another church because the pastor there really spoke to them. He really spoke to them in such an applicational way. Now, what I gathered from that, and maybe he did in a very good way, but what I gathered from that was the reason they were leaving their current church was because they liked this pastor. He was personable, he was likable, he was connectable, and today we have a whole pile of these reasons where does the pastor share a bunch of personal stories from his own personal experience? Does he make it practical and relevant for me in my personal life in terms of maybe sitting on a bar stool, giving a casual speech, a casual talk? And there's really no sense of the Word of God commanding the life. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of the sense that God has commissioned a messenger sent with somebody else's message that is to command the whole life and is to call sinners to look to Christ in true and saving faith. All that is sort of lost with a whole sort of what we have talked about, cult of personality.
Right.
Where the personality of the pastor is worshipped instead of the message.
Yeah, and on the flip side, then you also get churches where the office of elder, or office of pastor rather, is the be all and end all, where the pastor, what he says is the final word on everything and absolutely everything. He is basically the CEO. So you get this business model as well. And we're arguing that the Bible teaches something different about the office of pastor. The office includes authority. It's authority from Jesus Christ. And the authority is to bring a message, to bring the message of the Word of God. And I think, last time we looked at 1 Timothy 4, that's from the pastoral epistles. And the reason they're called pastoral epistles, we're talking about 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, is because they are addressed to pastors. And so if you want to know what a pastor is to be doing, look at these books. They're full of teaching. 2 Timothy 2 says, remind them of these things. This is verse 14. These things is referring to the gospel of Christ, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think today we need to focus on that expression, rightly dividing the word of truth. What does that mean, Chris?
Well, what he's essentially talking about there is we have been entrusted with a great deposit, which is the Word of God. This if you will call it, a treaty sent from heaven of God's way of salvation, the way that we may glorify him, the way that we may know him, that exposes sin in our lives. It speaks to all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The pastor's job is to mine that deposit of truth that God has given to him, to mine that truth and to present that truth with authority and power in the power of the Holy Spirit to have a bearing on people's lives so as to change lives.
Right. So there's authority to the word which the pastor brings if he is rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think that brings us into the question of preaching again and what is faithful preaching, because that is the main task of a pastor, is to faithfully bring the word that has been rightly divided. And you know, here again, there are all kinds of pressures. There are all kinds of distractions that are around. This morning, I was listening to a radio program where the host had done an interview with Ted Haggard, former head of the National Association of Evangelicals. And Ted Haggard had said, we need less preaching of Christ and more preaching of the Bible.
What?
Yeah, can you imagine somebody saying something like that? As if the Bible is not about Jesus Christ. And I think that brings us to verse 16 of 2 Timothy 2, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. When you don't see that the entire Bible, as a pastor, when you can't see that the entire Bible is about Jesus Christ, you've got a problem.
Now, so that what we're getting at then is that, Wes, we have to, we as pastors have to give ourselves, as Paul says in 1 Timothy, to the doctrine which we've carefully followed. Give ourselves, he says, to the reading, the exhortation, to doctrine, and don't neglect that gift, he says, that is in you. So that's our responsibility. You know, maybe one good question to ask, pastor, is how many hours does it take you to produce a sermon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the pastor spent most of his week out hanging down at the coffee shop, doing visits, doing recreational things, and has spent a measly hour in the study putting together some ideas and short stories for the Sunday, that is not carefully following the doctrine which we have received. That is not giving attention to exhortation and to doctrine. That is neglecting the gift that is in us. And I believe firmly, Wes, the Lord does not bless that.
No, absolutely not. And because what's ultimately at stake here is the truth of God, is the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's going to be proclaimed faithfully, ministers have to be busy with the word of God. They have to be mining the riches that are there. They have to study to show themselves approved.
You know, I've noticed that in recent times there have been some interruptions in worship services. And one of the things that I noticed is that oftentimes when they have these interruptions that we hear about in the news, all the people thought it was part of the drama or the play
mm-hmm.
of what was going on. And you know what? I was thinking about that, how that's so backwards. If there's an interruption, everyone should know that immediately is not what the design of worship is. The design of worship is that the minister should be expositing the word, not giving entertainment.
Well, you know, I think of this recent news story about this shooting of this pastor in the United States. A terrible event, tragic event, and it's awful. There's no question about that. A pastor gunned down in his own church. But it's interesting to know that the news reports after what happened, when they interviewed some of the parishioners, some of the people came out of the church and they said, we thought this was all part of the worship service. We thought that this was part of what the pastor was trying to communicate to us, that this was all part of the show, so to speak. That's tragic, too. Very sad.
Yeah, when we are going to give an account for our labors, Wes, you know, the issue will be, what did you follow the mandate that I commissioned for you to do? And in 2 Timothy 4 gives the pastor's mandate very clear: preach the word in season and out of season. Exhort, rebuke, and convince with all authority and with long suffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So I solemnly charge you, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the mandate. Preach the word in season, out of season, and preach this deposit of truth that's been given to you, this good doctrine. Give attention to the exhortation and to doctrine, and don't neglect that.
And it goes on to say in 2 Timothy 4, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And, you know, elsewhere, Paul also, says that ministers are to show an example with their lives of what they preach. So there is not only that your talk has to be the word of God, but your life also has to reflect the word of God also. Because your congregations are looking to you to see, well, what kind of a life you're living. What effect is the word of God having on you?
That's right. And you know, you'll notice the connection that the apostle makes here in the Great Calling. He says, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. This is 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I just love that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what a connection. The Lord views through the means. You know, God always uses means. And the means is here through the ministry of the word, through that faithfully proclaimed and given as the pastor tends to that great calling, salvation occurs in the heart of the pastor as the Holy Spirit applies that to himself, but also to the hearer.
Mm-hmm.
This is how the means, this is the chosen means God uses to grant faith, saving faith, and to strengthen the hearts and the lives of his people.
I want to talk for a minute, Chris, here, as we draw closer to the end of our program, about the authority of the minister, once again, the authority of a pastor. You know, Titus 2:15 says, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Now, there's that word authority again. And, you know, we mentioned that there is an extreme where you can go to, you know, the tyrannical pastor model where the pastor makes all the decisions. But nevertheless, the Bible does speak about the pastor having authority, speaking and acting with authority in the church because he is a representative of Jesus Christ.
Right. That was the difference, the fundamental difference in the teachings of the scribes and the Pharisees and that of Jesus. Jesus wasn't up there as a casual guy just having a good time with the good old boys. Jesus, they noticed, spoke with authority. He commanded their lives through the preaching of the word. And that is what we need a recovery of today.
Yes. And that goes hand in hand with the recovery of the gospel, that gospel which we preach in our churches. And we hope that this program today has been a blessing for you. And may God continue to richly bless you in every way.
Thank you for joining us today on Gospel Talk. If you've been appreciating what you've been hearing on this program and you're not already, we'd like to encourage you to find a Christ-centered church with biblical preaching and teaching. For example, you could go online to www.canrc.org to see if there's such a church in your neighborhood. That website again, www.canrc.org. If there isn't such a church nearby and you'd like to be involved with starting one, we invite you to contact us. You can write us at Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. The postal code V2Z1B3. That address again, Gospel Talk, 4631 Benz Crescent, Langley, B.C. V2Z1B3. You can also email us, gospeltalk@hotmail.com. That's gospeltalk, all one word, @hotmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-866-288-1087. Again, that number, 1-866-288-1087. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon on Gospel Talk. May Christ's gospel continue to lavishly bless you.